listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Audio files will be available after the show, where you can download and listen anytime on your computer, mobile device, or join us live every week to practice English with real Americans speaking real English. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome to the English Express Radio Podcast with your host Cliff and Brandon this early morning.
I hate you so much.
Why?
Because now I have to go buy a copy of The Chronic 2001.
It's a good song. That's a great CD, by the way.
I love that album. It's so good.
Have you ever had a favorite teacher?
Yeah, Erica Siefkin. Rest in peace.
What happened?
Died of breast cancer.
Oh, man.
She was like 28.
Oh, that's bad. What grade are we talking?
Sixth grade.
That was your sixth grade teacher?
Yep.
Man. And why was she your favorite?
You know, I think it was the same reason she got fired is why she was my favorite.
Breast cancer?
No, she died from that, Clinton. No, she got fired because she was just too much of a friend, not enough of a teacher.
Yeah, you got to have those lines.
She cared about her kids enough to want to hang out with them after school and such. And then about three years or so after I was out of sixth grade, that the students having sex with teachers stuff really started to pop up. And one of the kids lied and said they had sex with Miss Siefkin. And she's like, no, I did not bang a 12-year-old boy. And they didn't believe her and they moved. Yeah.
Did he play this?
I was teaching him multiplication. Oh, yeah.
With this playing in the background, right?
Well, I talked over my joke. Anyway, yeah, some kid lied, said that he banged her, and she was like, no. And so she had to move to another school. And then later got fired because a second kid said the same thing.
I can see how that could be an issue. And who's, you know, with the rash of what's been happening, who's to say that she wasn't?
Well, because she had me as a student and didn't make any advances on me. So clearly she's not into young boys.
The students, I'm sure, were the ones doing the advancing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, believe me, students in my class made advancements towards her also. She was 24 at the time, 25. I mean, wasn't a bad idea to make advances.
Well, if you ask Diane Cook, who her all-time favorite teacher was, she would answer Karen Zempel from New York's Bryan and Stratton College. This is a college teacher, and they really connected. She was really
connected?
Not that connected. She was a student there in 1985, and they stayed in contact after that. Two female, you know, teacher and student there. And
what, did they do arts and crafts? Lots of scissoring?
I'm going to ignore that. And one of the reasons why they were connected is that they shared a similar history. They were both adopted as infants, and as Miss Cook became interested in her biological family, she was encouraged by her teacher to reach out to the state adoption registry. And she said, you know, I was adopted as a child too. I think maybe I'll do the same thing. And so they kind of like put out their information, and the letter she got back actually had some information. She got to find out who her biological parents were, and she got some information on her sister, who was born 7 years earlier than her and was also adopted as a baby. Can you guess where this story's going?
Not a single clue. Was it Hillary Clinton? I don't know.
Nope. So she looked and said, my sister's name is Karen Zempel.
Ah, I get it now.
Who had also contacted the registry and found out her sister's name was Diane Cook. And they realized that maybe the reason why they were such good friends. And
because the teacher was her mom and she had her at seven.
No, sisters.
Darn.
They both joined, and here's the cool thing. They were both adopted by close-knit Italian families living just 20 miles apart in upstate New York, and they both attended Catholic school. They have more in common. Cook says, We think alike. We have the same mannerisms. They're both left-handed. They both have bubbly personalities. And they both love shopping.
Oh.
It reminds me. Do you remember the old show, The Patty Duke Show?
No.
Patty Duke just recently died. And the old show was the two, they were cousins, but they think alike, they talk alike. That's part of the song. If I was prepared, I would have that song. I'm not.
It's always just a quick Google search away.
Yeah, that's going to take too much time. I'm not going to be doing that. But anyway, the Patty Duke Show, that reminds me of that. So maybe you and your teacher, sisters.
My dead teacher?
Yeah, she probably didn't turn out to be your sister, huh?
Probably not, no.
That was a different type of a connection. All right, well, as we mentioned, welcome to the Puyallup Trash.
Oh, you are a fail face, and you already mentioned, you already said hello. You just
I wanted to promote the website. That's great. To say theenglishexpress.com, visit us online. Find us on iTunes.
Via Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, look for us on Facebook, like our page, that kind of thing.
That's theenglishexpress.com.
You know, you get a little confused when you've got more than one.
There's
podcast.
No Pew or Wallops anywhere in that URL.
Thank you, Brent. Let's do a love pile, shall we?
I love it.
I love it too. It's exciting and new. Come aboard.
Come aboard.
We've been expecting you.
I think you're bored.
We're expecting you and love.
Yeah. I hope you expect me to finish early.
All
I'm
right,
a realist.
Buddy. Hey. What's that I smell? I think I smell your dead wife.
What the hell?
Would you ever make a perfume out of your dead wife?
Oh my. Oh. Oh, that's disgusting.
No?
You mean like a juicer? I mean, how would you do that?
Well, now you can smell just like your dead loved one. You know, a lot of people remember them with photos, mementos, maybe an urn on the mantle. But now the French company Calaine is offering to bottle the scent of that recently departed, which you can wear as a perfume.
I've got an idea. Have a little foresight and get the smell bottled before they die.
Well, listen to how they do it. The idea comes from Katia Apalatgui, whose quest to capture the scent of the dead began just after her father died several years ago. Her mother held onto a pillowcase with his scent that gave her the idea of bottling the odor. She says, we take the person's clothing and extract the odor, and then we reconstruct it into the form of a perfume in 4 days. And it's okay. Only $600.
That's aside from the price, because holy crap, but that's actually pretty cool.
Really? You would do this?
I thought they were like dismembering an arm and squeezing really hard until like it dripped into a bottle and then selling that for $600. And that's not cool.
No, but okay.
All right. Are you ready for me to admit me being a stupid kid?
Yes.
All right. So when I was like 7, you went to a Boy Scout camp and you were gone for like 5 days. All right.
No, I was gone for 14, dude. We did a 2-week deal.
Oh, wow. Okay. So never mind. So you were gone for a long time. And I remember crawling up into your bunk and I was missing you terribly. And I laid my nose down in your pillow and just smelled the nasty smell of your head. And I cried because I missed my brother that much. Right.
It's a common reaction.
And he's so modest. No. I know that my wife tells me that, you know, when she lays down on my pillow, she can smell me if she's missing me or whatever. And so I totally agree with this. I think that that's actually a really solid idea. except maybe you shouldn't hold on to dead relatives and live your life for yourself now. I don't know.
Could be. Well, you know, the way this is described, it sounds like it's something that you can do with somebody who's still living.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if somebody goes away, it might be nice to have something that you can hang on to for that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that go on business trips, a lot of couples that one of them travels for business for their work. And it's like, wouldn't that be nice if you could throw a t-shirt down on your pillow that smells like them?
It's only $600, man.
Hey, he's working for a reason.
Now, with our next story, when you cheat, it's usually not something that you want to share. So who, when you're cheating, spills the beans more, men or women?
Men, I would guess.
Really? Well, yeah. It turns out it's women who kiss and tell when it comes to an affair. Now, when it comes to conquests, the men share it with everyone. But
oh, I misunderstood the question. I thought you were asking in a couple, which one comes clean first?
No. I'm talking about like if you are, well, like I say, when it comes to conquests, like you're not like with somebody, you're just out like conquering the world. Men tell all their friends about what they've had. What?
Oh, I'm just singing Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Never mind.
But when it comes to women and like an affair, so like you're in a marriage. And you cheat on your husband, or a husband cheats on the wife. The women tell all their friends about having an extramarital affair, according to research from illicitencounters.com. In the survey, only about 6% of men told a pal about their cheating ways, while 43% of women revealed their affair with a friend.
You know why?
Because women are idiots.
No, because the other dudes will go tell the wife so that they can hope to bang the wife. These guys know if I tell Johnny I cheated on my wife, he's going to tell my wife because he's been wanting to hit that.
Well, the relationship expert notes it's a matter of instinct. Men are afraid to share stuff that can make them vulnerable because they're afraid that someone could blackmail or betray them, which is exactly what you said.
It's because women have good friends. Men don't. That's the reason.
Well, they say that women like to tell and share because they love the intrigue and they trust their best friends not to tell. Women stick together. Men will stab you right in the back.
I'm going to sit back with a smug look on my face that I get every time I'm right.
And of the 40% of women who told a friend, 15% of them told more than one. They're just sharing it with the whole world. So,
wait, that's surprising to me because I would imagine that of the 40%, you know, 100% of that 40 would tell more than one people probably at the same time.
Well, no, because like if I'm a female and I tell you, OK, I'm in the 43% that tells somebody. Okay?
Yeah. And you're saying of that 43, 15% of them tell more than one person.
A second person.
Yeah, I think I call BS on that number.
Oh, you think if they tell one, they tell all?
Yeah, and usually at the same time. They tell it in a circle.
With a pillow fight, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, in their bikinis.
Now, here's something that I've always disagreed with, but maybe I'm wrong. What is your stance on living together before marriage?
I think that it's... okay. I'm trying to make this a short answer because I don't believe entirely in marriage. So I kind of wanted to start there and then transfer into why I think living together before marriage is fine. But I'm going to shorten my answer and just say, I think that it's probably a good idea to know what you're getting yourself into.
Well, according to a new survey, if you live with your one true love before a marriage, chances are one day you actually will get married. The majority of couples who live together get married most within 3 years. This comes from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control down in Georgia, who tracked cohabitating couples. And they found that half of all those couples got married within 3 years. And 66% got married within 5 years. And they also found that more people are living together than ever before. mostly because it's become more socially acceptable. And I can't disagree with that.
That's true.
But I think that one of the reasons why these people who are living together are getting marriage is true is because it's convenient and comfortable. And once you've got your life stuck together and like everything is intertwined, it's much more difficult to kind of get yourself out of that. And so these people are absolutely getting married, but is that always a good idea? Sometimes yes, but I think there's a good percentage of these folks who are getting married and they shouldn't be.
See, I'm going to disagree with it. I think if you've lived together for 3 years or 5 years and you've decided I'm going to get married, you have seen the best, the worst, and everything in between from the person that you live with. You know their habits. You know all their dirty, dark secrets. And you know, am I going to be able to live with this person?
And if the answer is no,
then you fall into the other 50% of people that live together and didn't get married. I think once you've decided I can't live with this guy after 3 years, you're not going to marry him.
No, according to research, only a certain, and they don't give me the numbers, but a certain
no.
They give me those. But of the people who don't get married, some of them just stay living together. They don't get married, but they stay together. And only a much smaller percentage actually breaks up, which means that if you start living together, chances are you're going to stay together for, and I say there's a chance you stay together a lot longer than you should.
Now, I have a question that I'm pretty sure you don't have the numbers for, but I'm wondering that what would happen to people who lived together and got married? Is their marriage more successful than people who got married and didn't live together first? Because
I wish I had those.
I would imagine that if you've lived together for 3 years and then, you know, 50% of those people get married, I would imagine those marriages probably last longer, are more successful overall than the marriages where you didn't live together. Because like I said, dude, what if, let's just say, for example, you're a woman, okay? And you got married to a guy who doesn't use a tissue when he blows his nose, just wipes it everywhere, just blows it in his hand. Let's say as a kid, he would blow it in his hand and throw it as a weapon at other people. Just disgusting behavior, right? Let's say this guy littered snot everywhere, under tables, on the walls, and you married him. Okay, and you didn't know this habit about him, but about a month into your marriage, you go to pull your chair into the table and you reach under the table and you get coated with this big, thick coat of slime snot. And you scream and your husband says, "Oh, baby, that's normal. Don't look behind the curtains." If maybe you knew this about the guy before you got married, you could have gone into the marriage with a better idea of how, you know, you want to live your life. Maybe you would know this about the guy if you lived together first, but now you're already in a marriage and your parents don't ever want you to get divorced and you're religious, so you can't get divorced under the eyes of God and blah, 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 blah. It's like you're already stuck and you found something that you literally can't tolerate and now you're stuck.
You find that during dating because I think back to when I was younger and dating, and I would have like my girlfriends who would come and stay with me like every weekend and even for a week or two, but they didn't live there. You know, this wasn't their house. And I still remember one time when a girl used to bring like some of her things every time she would come and stay the night and then she would leave without them and bring something else. And one day I woke up and I went downstairs and started looking around saying, "This bitch lives with me." She lives
snuck
here.
Snuck her way right in.
And we had to break up. I'm not going to put up with that garbage. In fact, I don't want to say her name because...
I think I know who it is.
Do you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
Well, we'll powwow after the show.
Yeah.
And see if we've got the right person, because if she ever looks up my name and finds this podcast and listen, I don't want to out her.
Yeah, if it's a her, we're not saying anything.
Okay, I'm saying it's a her. It's an A name.
Oh, wrong person. I thought I was thinking of someone else.
Were you thinking of the N name?
Mm-hmm.
No, this one was an A name. This was before that girl. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of the girl. Anyway, we
sidetracked. She was annoying as hell.
We sidetracked hard. Let's get back.
Brittany used to make fun of her. Hi, guys. How are you?
No, you'll have to tell me afterward.
Yeah. All right. Well, cohabitation is certainly increasing, and it's becoming the first residential union among young adults. Because in the old days, like what I did, I lived with roommates. And this is like people are moving from their parents' house directly into with their boyfriend or girlfriend. From 87 to 2002, between the ages of 35 and 39, wait a second. Hold on. Okay. People who had ever cohabitated doubled from 30% to 60%. Okay. So if you find I get it now. If you find a 35-year-old woman and say, have you ever lived with a man and not been married? Back in 87, only 30% said, yes, I've lived with a man. And they gave them 35 to give them time to like live their lives. It's not fair if you ask a 21-year-old. But if you ask a 35-year-old today, 60% have.
See, I'm too much of a skeptic. I hear these studies and I immediately start trying to pick it apart because, like you said, it's more socially acceptable now. So does that mean that closer to 50% of women in the 1980s were cohabitating with men and then just not admitting to it because it's not socially acceptable?
No, because that was the way things were done back then. People were still hooking up, but they just weren't living together. Today, only about a quarter of people have gotten married without having lived together.
Yeah, I, from my own personal opinion, I think it's better to cohabitate before marriage.
And I think that it can be a good thing, but I think that there's too much of an opportunity to, my thing is, if you would break up with that person, but maybe not like overwhelmingly, like, you know, you have like a fight or something happens. And if you were not living together, you would say, I'm through, I'm out, goodbye. You would walk out on that person. But when you're living together and you have been for 6 or 8 months, the likelihood of you walking out on that person is much less because you live together. You can't just say, I break up with you, I'm done. There's a lot more that goes on to that. And I think that for some people, you end up with somebody that you shouldn't.
But then how is marriage any better? It's like, okay, so now instead of living together for 6 months and learning that there's something that you can't stand about this person, instead of giving
because people live together after 3 weeks. They're infatuated and they say, I love you. I love you too, baby. Let's move in.
I'm saying that how is living together for 6 months and deciding, oh, I can't take it anymore. You know, I need to get out of this relationship. How is that worse than getting married and then living for 6 months together? You guys have lived together for 6 months in both cases, but in one case you're married and in one case you're not.
Yeah, but the people who wait to get married typically date a lot longer. You know, you might date for like a year and a half before marriage.
You and I both know that if you're living apart, you can go years putting your best foot forward and the girl will never know your dark secrets. The girl never knows your bad habits about your laundry and your bodily functions and what you
color
do
show
with your leftovers. You know, they don't know how you live until they live with you.
True
you can
color
do-
show through.
No. You can do the dishes before she comes over. But if she lives with you, she can see how many days go by before the dishes get done. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I am a strong proponent of coming over and staying an extended period of time, even a couple of weeks. But I liked it when your stuff and your bed was somewhere else. You come hang out with me for a week or two, but you need to live somewhere else.
Well, that's just ridiculous. If she's staying there for 2 weeks, she should have her own dresser, her own makeup, her own personal hygiene stuff. She should have her own towel. She's living there, man.
Nope.
She doesn't even go home for half a month. She lives at your house part-time.
All right, and finally, some pickup lines from Dr. Seuss.
Baby. Oh, what?
Dr. Seuss pickup lines.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Seuss needs love, too.
Come on, Craig.
So So I'm Dr. Seuss. I'm at a bar. You're a woman. And I say,
oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah.
I may not like green eggs and ham, but I sure love your long, thin legs.
Keep your drink. Just give me the money. It's you and your ham tonight.
That's not the only place this sneech has a star, baby.
Oh. If you could work that into a good setup, that could be a good one.
You know, after he stole it, the Grinch hid Christmas in my pants.
Dumb.
My heart ain't the only thing that's two sizes too large, if you know what I mean. Each book makes a million, a zillion, or three. Would you, could you come home with me?
Dumb.
We'll be right back with the criminal bile here on the English Express Radio podcast.
Hey, Cliff.
Yeah.
Do you have a hole in your shoe?
Let me check. No.
Then how'd you get your foot into it?
You're listening to the English Express Radio podcast.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul?
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant, need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Learning English can be hard. Don't like it? Try it with mustard. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
I love right after the love pile, I play Love Walks In. Who's the artist?
I don't even know this song.
You don't know this song?
Uh-uh.
Come
on, man.
The only
time I've heard this song is this podcast.
Are you serious? This is Van Halen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Love Walks In. I love that song. What?
Sammy Hagar?
No. Okay, Sammy Hagar sucked. Yeah, David Lee Roth. You know, my son is named David Lee.
Oh, that's cool. My middle name is Lee.
I wanted to name him David Lee Roth and then my last name. What was your idea, Davey? You said it should be Davy Jones for
Davey. Yeah, his middle Jones. Name should be Jones, and he should get in high school and get a locker.
This is Davy Jones' locker.
And that's what you got to write on the front, too. You have to put some masking tape on it and write Davy Jones right on the front of it.
Now, I got some great stories.
Better not disappoint
Ladies
me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true.
That's right. It is true. Kim and Matthew, it's the criminal pile here on the English Express Radio podcast.
Nice benchmark, dude. Best in the business.
Benchmarks matter, man. We haven't come up with like our routine yet, but we will. But this is a story of Kim and Matthew Ingham, who have a very sick son. It's
How old's the son?
Doesn't say, but he's a child, like a kid.
Okay.
And he's terminally ill with cancer. That's one of those things that's bad to begin with. And it is seriously worse when it happens to children. And with a disease like cancer that lasts so long, the parents are often spending everything they have. And so it's really tough for these kids to communicate with other family members. I mean, they're stuck in the hospital. People don't have time to just go visit them all the time. But don't you think these kids deserve to communicate with the outside world stuck in a hospital?
Yeah. Well, that's where it's the last few days of your life. You should be allowed to experience some new things.
Well, that's why the charity Candlelighters provides hospitals with donated laptops so that the sick kids can better keep in touch with their families. Unfortunately, those laptops have recently been disappearing. Somebody's been stealing the sick children's laptops.
Really?
Yep.
What the blank?
And these kids are like, I wanted to email grandma. Where's my laptop? It's gone, which, Billy.
BS, by the way. I wanted to play Flash games in my browser. That's more likely.
If you're a child with cancer, I think that you should be allowed to do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, have you ever seen X videos, Johnny? Let me show you some real good stuff before you die.
Well, that's when a member of the hospital staff noticed the Ingham's Facebook page that they suddenly had a lot more laptops in all of their photos.
You are kidding me.
So they contacted the police, but don't worry. The Inghams, they didn't do it. There's a perfectly logical explanation here. They didn't steal the laptops. It was their terminally ill son. He's the one that should be arrested.
What dirtbags? Seriously?
Judge Sally, who heard the case, recently sentenced them and is quoted as saying, it is difficult to find the words to describe how despicable this offending was.
Right? Oh, that is disgusting.
I could not believe that one. All right.
What terrible people.
Yes, they are.
I hope they get charged worse than Michael Vick.
I hope so. Well, this story is about a Chinese man named Dwayne. Dwayne really wanted an iPhone. I mean,
was
he
his last
really.
Name Johnson?
Nope, but he really, really wanted an iPhone. And he didn't have the money to pay for it.
You said he's Chinese, right?
He's Chinese.
So just build one. They all know how to.
Oh, Brandon. I wish I had a racist thing.
I wish I had racist sounds. Everybody record that.
No, so that I could tell you how wrong you were for that.
That's racist.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So he decided to go to social media. Social media can help him get his iPhone.
Oh, crap. Kickstarter's funding all kinds of stupid.
Yeah, that's not what he did. He went to social media and posted his 18-day-old daughter for sale.
Oh, what the hell?
For $3,500.
Okay, you can get more. I'm just saying.
And she was purchased.
Yeah, that's a steal. I mean, think about it. So, put 18 years of food and you got a lifetime of maid service right there.
That's right. So they went to QQ. That's where that's the social media network for Chinese because they can't use Facebook. So QQ is their Facebook. And the buyer.
That's hella funny. Do you know what QQ means?
No.
It's if you type two capital Qs on your keyboard, they look like two eyes crying.
Really? Okay. Well, that's it.
Go to chat real quick and type two. See how there are two eyes crying in the chat there?
That's so, why they named it that.
So it's hilarious because it's like, we can't use Facebook. QQ.
Right. There you go. So he used that and the buyer thought, wow, $3,500, I'll buy it for my sister. And Dwayne used the money to buy it. Well, Dwayne, the seller, used the money to buy an iPhone and he had enough left over for a motorcycle.
What a deal. And it's a Chinese baby that's a female, so pretty much worthless, right?
Right. Well, to them. The mother didn't share his joy.
What a surprise.
She was unaware that he posted for sale and sold the baby. And she said she was devastated at the turn of events. Go ahead. Oh.
You don't stop in the middle of your sentence when I do that. You have to finish your thought.
Oh, okay.
She was devastated at the turn of events.
She was devastated by the turn of events, but she came around after she saw the money in the dirt bike.
Oh, Jesus. Are you kidding me?
Her friends say that she eventually agreed to the sale. Police arrested her, and she told them, well, I didn't know it was illegal to sell my child.
It's China. What's illegal here?
She says many people in my hometown send their kids to other families to raise them.
That's the same.
Yeah, Dwayne got 3 years in prison.
This is almost as bad as that guy from Colorado who went to the Super Bowl without telling his wife.
The best part of this whole story is the buyer. Because remember, he bought the baby for his sister. Since the parents are in jail and can't raise her, she gets to keep the baby.
Well, there you go.
So they're trying to figure out what the best course of action is, but it may be to stay with the
Well, with the at least sister. The baby wasn't sold to the Philippines.
Right? All right. Our last I might have two more stories because I have to have my cool exit music.
Right. Okay, well, you run the show, so I'll just let you make that call. Well, maybe you should decide it before we're live on the air, so you can kind of go into it with a plan.
I don't need plans. What are you talking about?
We don't need no stinking plans.
Have you ever been to a tourist area, and there's people that like dress up like famous figures or superheroes or something like that? Like you go to Vegas or...
No, I went to... Okay, this you want to hear how exciting my life is? So I went to this place in Utah where they all dressed up like they were Mormons who were colonizing the area.
Oh, that was... This is the place park.
Yeah, this is the place park. That's where I've been to, a tourist spot where people dress up like characters. That's the only place I've been to that has...
Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like you go to Vegas or New York. And they're like, people are like wearing Spider-Man outfits.
Nope, never seen it. Heard about it though.
In St. Petersburg, they dress up like Peter the Great and take photos with you and ask you for $2, you know? Well, in
I wouldn't recognize Peter the Great, I don't think.
Well, he does. Yeah, he's got a cool mustache. Well, in Times Square, New York, Jose Martinez likes to dress as Batman and take pictures with tourists.
Isn't he a baseball player?
No, that's Jose Canseco.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of Jose's in baseball, actually.
Well, this dude dresses like Batman and takes pictures and earns a couple of bucks. He also likes to steal money and valuables from those tourists.
That's what's up.
Including children.
Oh, God. That's not what's up.
Yeah, he was arrested after two Irish tourists were taking a photo with him and caught him picking their pockets.
Yeah.
He ran off, but since he's just a regular guy and not actually Batman, police quickly outran him and made the arrest.
Couldn't grappling hook his way out of this one.
No. He's been charged with grand larceny and possession of stolen property.
Dumbass.
All right, man. Well, that's our show for this week. Join us next week with when we'll have another English Express podcast.
You suck.
That's all right? You have to say for yourself?
What, me?
Yeah.
What do I have to say for myself? You're the one that screwed up. I'm going to start making poster boards and holding them up to the webcam so you can see which show we're doing.
I need to, you know what? I need to have like two different sheets. All right. We'll be back next week with the English Express radio podcast. Check us out online, theenglishexpress.com.
It's sad when the bare minimum becomes applaudable for you. Got the name right. Good job.
Now back to some more wholesome, good-natured family entertainment. Oops, wrong show. You're listening to the English Express radio podcast.
Goodbye.